Welcome to Red Sox Digest, the only show where pain, sarcasm, and a dash of hope collide nightly like a Trevor Story strikeout. We cover every loss, every meltdown, and yes, even the rare win with brutally honest takes and zero front office fluff. Subscribe today at RedSoxDigest.com or risk being left out in the cold like a home game in April. And now, here's the crew at Red Sox Digest.
Good evening, Red Sox fans. It is June 20th on Friday night. I am here with Nick Face. This is Red Sox Digest. We have a few things to talk about today. First of all, Nick, how are you doing today?
Still digesting, no pun intended, on the name of this pod, all of the lovely soap opera stories of the week with the Boston Red Sox. But you know what? It is Friday, Jim. That's a good thing. It's been another week. And now we look forward to seeing Raffy Devers in a San Francisco Giant uniform in roughly an hour. First pitch.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I can stay awake for this one. It's been a tough week for us too here.
Is this one of the latest ones, the 10:15 start of the season? I believe so.
So far this month, yeah. This year, yeah, absolutely. That's the tough thing about the West Coast swing. It's always been tough for us here in New England to be able to stay up for some of these games. Luckily, hopefully, you don't have to go to work tomorrow. I don't, so maybe we can kind of...
Oh, I get to go to a bridal shower tomorrow. I can't freaking wait.
Yeah, those are wonderful. Want to start out with a little bit more on Raffy, if we can. Fans are back and forth on this. I scanned Twitter as much as I could today to try to get some, you know, opinions on where people stand with him. And I don't know about you, but it seems like it's back and forth. A lot of people blaming Raffy, a lot of people blaming ownership. Where do you stand with the blame on this? And if there is someone to blame, where do you put your blame on this?
I think when we talked first show, when we were doing this, I said I was much more in the middle ground on both sides. It's the Devers side of not doing what your employee says, going over and playing a position in dire need. It wasn't anybody's fault that Tristan Casas got hurt. They needed to fill that void at first base, and Raffy refused. But it all begins with the communication, 100% from management, which is your owner, John Henry, down to Sam Kennedy, with Craig, what's it called, GBT? Is that our chat GBT guy? I'm going to call him that from now on.
It's Craig Roswell.
And then, of course, with Cora. Today, there were more, in my feeling, hit pieces coming out on Devers or on ownership and all that. And one of the things that stood out to me from an article, I believe it was from the Passan story, Jeff Passan from ESPN, was the point that Alex Cora never got that opportunity. Within that month before Devers was at camp a month prior to spring training. They never even got a chance to talk about, you know, what the season's going to look like, what they might need him to do. That would have been a prime opportunity to talk right there, and nothing was done, nothing at all. So that really irked me quite a bit when I read that piece on the passing side of things, saying if Raffy's in camp early getting himself there and Cora is already there, why was there no communication about what may have happened, what could happen, to get everybody on the same page? The biggest problem with the Red Sox, and I think you'll agree here, is just the whole mismanagement with the communication. They are a colossal disaster in terms of how they effectively lead this organization and tell people what's going on. We're either lied to as fans, we're played, where it just feels like there's no respect. And I think that's the side of things, or I can understand on Devers' part, where the communication was so lacking. I think I would probably feel the same way. If my employee said didn't tell me what was going on, and this all happened, you know, it starts from the top. And this ownership group has been horrible for way too long.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. I mean, you got an ownership group, you know, involving obviously John Henry, Tom Warner, and Tom Warner is pretty much the only guy from ownership group outside of Sam Kennedy. I don't know if I really consider him ownership. He's probably got stake, but you know, the bottom line here is that have you ever seen Mike Gorman? Mike Gordon? I don't think I've ever seen the guy, and he's an owner. The point I'm trying to make it is that if you're going to set an example, I don't know how you can be an owner that is just completely vacant on your entire, you know, organization that you own. I understand that, you know, there are people that an owner will hire to run this. I mean, you've heard John Henry say Larry Lucchino runs the Red Sox. I get all that. But there has to be some level. And I don't know what happened with that Kansas City trip with John Henry. I mean, obviously Breslow had to sit at the kids' table. He wasn't allowed in on that. I just feel like if there's a way that the Red Sox can screw something up, they'll do that very well. I mean, I looked at the season, and I had this conversation with you. I've had a conversation with other people on Twitter. I said, "What do the Red Sox? What do the 2025 Red Sox do well?" You have an offensive side, a defensive side. The only thing I could think of that they come up with doing well is screwing up,
losing in one run games. 100%. They're the champions of that, no doubt. Not communicating effectively, making stupid plays in the field. Could even say they're the worst mentally prepared baseball team in the league.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand how you can have so many players coming up from the minors that look like they don't know how to play defense. This has been a
train. They miss out 100% on these fundamentals.
This team has been a regular train wreck for the last few seasons defensively. I mean, I look like sometimes in the past, in 22, 23, and some of 24, it looked like you were watching the Bad News Bears throwing the ball around. And even some in April of this season. And it just irks me that most of these guys, at least in the United States, have probably been playing baseball since T-ball and Little League. I don't understand how you can be on a major league ball club and not be able to know who your cutoff men are, how many outs there are on both sides of the ball. Yep. Where you should throw. Stop winging the ball to try to get a guy at third that you have no chance getting. Stop winging the ball to try to get a runner at home and allowing the guy at first to move to second base. Mm-hmm. You know, these are just fundamental things that if they're not being taught in the minor leagues, then I think you need to revamp the minor league system in some way, because I don't understand.
Needs a revamp. I completely agree with you on that. I actually was thinking a little bit back to when was the last really good season that the Red Sox had defensively or were mentally all prepared and focused in games. And I was thinking about past coaches and coaching staffs of what they've put together. Do you remember Brian Butterfield by chance?
Third base coach.
He was the one known for all the fungos and hitting all the ground balls and getting everybody in the best defensive rhythm and knowing what's going on. The last year that Butterfield was with the team, do we remember that year? I can't remember 100%, but I want to say it was 2019 or 2021. And I feel like it's gotten worse since 2022. I'm going to harp on 2022 here for a moment, because isn't that the year that Jaron Duran had that terrible play in center field where he just kind of stood there and was like, "Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." He just stood there and probably wanted to go into his turtle shell. And I personally never thought we'd see the light of day of him ever again. I thought at that moment, there is no way this guy is going to do anything for this team ever.
I called for him to be cut right then and there.
And we ended up seeing, I think it was 2023, where he was starting to be the starter and got the reps and everything. And then last year, we had that all-star performance from him. it was surprising to me. And I look back on that coaching side of things. Another name I'm going to bring up, Carlos Fabelis. He's no longer here either. He used to be our third base coach. Was he the best third base coach? No. But I do think that he had a lot of care and a lot of tenacity when it came to the right way of fielding balls and getting in the right position and doing those little things right. I can't even tell you the coaching outside of Cora and Ramon Vasquez and probably Veritek that's on this staff. You do have your Andrew Bailey as your pitching coach, but first base coach, usually you know his name. I really don't, and I don't care. Third base, no, same deal. And I think a lot of this is because these guys have no clue what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, you brought up the Jaron Duran thing about becoming a starter. Let's not forget the fact that if it wasn't for Adam Duvall's injury, he would have not been a starter.
Great point, Jim. Great point. I forgot about that. Yep, 100% right.
The only reason why they brought him up. And if that injury doesn't happen, who knows if Jaron Duran even plays that season or he's a September call-up. Just back to Raffy for a second. There was a tweet. I don't know who he interviewed because, again, my day's been really crazy. But he had said today that if the Red Sox had said to him in spring training that they wanted him to play first base, he would have played first base. I've got two problems with that. Number one, obviously, Raffy knows that we had a first baseman to start the season. His name was Tristan Casas. And number two, why can't you just do it after he was injured? Like, why was it okay in spring training, but it's not okay in May? What's the problem with that? Why is it so egregious to him?
Because he's one of those guys that was having a mental breakdown. He was having a temper tantrum, and he wanted to take it out on John Henry. And I think personally, he wanted to take it out on Breslow. I think Devers absolutely despised that robot. That GBT robot is what he is.
Yeah.
I don't think we stress enough. There are some that are in the media and everything that talk about this, but Craig Breslow is like your 26th choice of general manager. You had four or five different options turn this job down because it's become such a laughing stock across the league. It is a joke because it's been a nothing but a cesspool that's been created since Dombrowski's been gone. The rest of the league is looking at the Red Sox and saying, Dave Dombrowski is one of the most respected baseball guys that runs organizations tremendously and knows what he's doing. And you went out and you got rid of him after winning a World Series. Who the hell is going to want to come to this organization again? That's what the Red Sox created. Now, I'm not saying that everything that Dombrowski did was tremendous. I mean, of course, the Chris Sale move. Even you could question the Nathan Eovaldi thing. But I wasn't one of those guys screaming for his firing. I sure wasn't. I don't know about you.
Well, I mean, anybody that's going to have to interview for this job after the fact has to go through five rounds of a robot. Yep. You like that one today? Let's not talk to any human interaction. Let's just go ahead and have a bot interview for you for at least five rounds before we decide where to go from there. Yep. That, I mean, that is every day. I think I've heard everything I could possibly have with the Red Sox, and happily I stand corrected. And that's why I started today's show off by saying, what do the Red Sox do well? Screwing things up is really all they know how to do.
Robotic. Yeah. Being robotic, having those analytical nerds run your team. That's what you got. Your launch angle nerds, your statisticians that say, oh, we're only going to throw this starting pitcher five innings. Let's throw Bernardino 20 times a month and blow his arm off. Those are the guys calling the shots.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I looked at some stats. Bernardino was in almost 50% of their games, which is absolutely ridiculous. I felt like it was the Mike Timlin story all over again where they blew out his arm.
Everyday Eddie. Remember Eddie Guardado? From the Twins.
Sure.
Yeah, Everyday Eddie. That's what I looked at Bernardino. I go, here comes Eddie. Here he comes.
Yep. And then people have the audacity to bitch and moan if he screws up and gives up a couple walks and a couple hits. I mean, if you're going to have him out there every night, he can't be perfect every single night. Nope. Back to Breslow a little bit. What are your thoughts on the fact? I mean, there's a little bit of chatter here and there. Do you think Breslow's on the hot seat, or do you think he's safe?
That's actually a tough question to ask, because I actually look at it and say, if you get rid of Breslow, then what? Then what? The only theory that I have on this to say that he is on the hot seat is that we're hearing a lot of chatter amongst the media of people turning on him, thinking he's a joke, calling him spineless, all that kind of jazz, and these stories about the interviews. Here's my theory, and I think you'll like this theory. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I think we're going to get to a point where we're going to be seeing a change happen, and the change is actually going to be coming internally. Here's where I'm going to. We've heard rumblings in the past with Cora on what exactly his future is going to be here. Is he going to continue to manage, or is he going to be managing elsewhere? Well, he has a big deal that's here. He's got a big 3-year deal. I think he's the highest paid manager in baseball now. Is that correct? Or is that still Craig Counsell with the Cubs?
It could be Counsell. I'd have to look up the numbers, but I think Counsell might be a little bit more.
The theory that I have here is that eventually you will be seeing Cora go upstairs and becoming the president of baseball ops, which is going to open up a spot for your next guy.
Love Red Sox Digest? And stop freeloading and subscribe already. Free subscribers get recaps, rants, and the occasional emotional breakdown. Just like Craig Breslow with the trade deadline. Upgrade to a paid subscription and unlock the full archive. Subscriber-only game breakdowns, behind-the-scenes audio rants, exclusive mailbag Q&As, plus live chat and post-game streams where we scream into the void together. And if you're a true sicko, become a founding member and we'll put you on the podcast. That's right, a guest appearance on Red Sox Digest. Hit subscribe. It's cheaper than Fenway beer and way more satisfying.
This is one of those guys that actually was saying, you know, it might be time to see Jason Veritek be the manager. But I got to tell you, I'm changing my tune very much on this, because this team needs an entire overhaul, in my opinion, and a different philosophy and approach. So I'm looking for somebody from an outsider's perspective, truthfully. I'm looking for somebody who's a little hard-nosed. It's going to actually be somebody that gets the best out of their players, and fundamentals are important, and playing the game, you know, with a good mental side of things and being in the moment. That's the type of guy you want. Is that Chad Tracy down in Worcester? I don't know. I haven't seen enough of that. But my going theory here was, yes, I would say Breslow is on the hot seat if something does not go right. And you might see Alex Cora, because he's so beloved by John Henry and ownership, go upstairs.
I mean, if that's the case, why didn't it happen before the Breslow signing?
I think because Cora still wanted to manage. I think they probably asked him that question. And the question was being, are you still in this? Do you still want to be here? Do you want to be our guy? I think that question was asked. And I'm 90% certain that that was a question that they asked before this extension happened. So I'm willing to believe here that Craig Breslow is on a very thin leash right now.
Well, I mean, you have to look back at, you know, from, you know, a high angle on his entire tenure as your, you know, president of baseball ops, GM, whatever you want to call him. You know, you went and you traded Chris Sale, who, you know, arguably he, you know, wore out his welcome here a lot with the injuries and, you know, the Chris Frail comments and so forth. But you traded him to Atlanta. For a guy that can't play baseball.
Yeah, he can't.
And you paid for him to play for the Atlanta Braves. You paid him $18 million to play for the Atlanta Braves. You got the Rafael Devers trade now. We need to see where that one goes. But it'll be interesting to see if this is a flop as well. I think you're getting into Heim Bloom territory here. I mean, look, you know, as far as getting Crochet, I don't know how much of that work was on Breslow alone.
It's not.
I don't think there's a lot there.
Even a robot could have made that deal.
Right. So, you know, we start looking and comparing what Bloom did and what he did. And I got to tell you, I mean, obviously I was no Bloom fan. I, you know, couldn't stand the guy in terms of his ability to run the organization as the chief executive. Would I have loved him to be on this staff as maybe a guy involved in, you know, drafting? Absolutely. I think, especially if these kids make it, I mean, there's something to be said with Bloom on that standpoint. But I got to tell you, you know, I was initially happy when Breslow was signed to be the GM because I said, here's a guy who grew up a Red Sox fan. He played for the team. Yes, he's nerdy. I can live with a little bit of nerdy, but athlete at the same time combination. And I got to tell you, I'd rather have Bloom back, or I'd rather have a vacuum cleaner run this organization.
That's what it feels like, is that he's sucking all the life out of the team. So that analogy is pretty spot on there, I must say.
Yeah.
When you look at both guys, there is Breslow, who did go and get Carlos Navarez. Let's make sure we give him credit for that. That needs to be stated. He was a dime a dozen. That has been his shining light right there for this team. I don't know if I give him much credit on Bregman, because I think that was more ownership and Alex Cora driving that horse.
Well, Nick, he didn't want Bregman.
Yeah, no, he didn't. This was all ownership, and I think ownership said, well, if Cora wants him and Cora's going to get the extension, he's going to be here, we're going to give it a try. I really don't think I give much credit on Chaim Bloom, by the way, when it comes to Marcelo Meyer either. I mean, that was your choice in the draft. That was a list that you had. There's your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, Turtle could have selected him. He fell in your lap.
I can't really do much there on what it turned into be Roman Anthony and then your Christian Campbell. I can give a little bit of credit on that. And definitely the minor leagues was definitely revamped after Dombrowski was there. You know, Dombrowski, I'm sorry to keep talking about him, but it drives me crazy when people say that Dombrowski ruined the farm system. No, he did not. All of the guys that he traded, for the most part, have been nothing but colossal failures.
Nick, I've said this before on some spaces.
It drives me insane.
I've said this before on spaces, and I've said this when people come at me on Twitter about Dombrowski ruining the minor league system. And I said to every one of them this statement: what trade did Dombrowski make that you want back?
You want Carter back? He's really been great.
What trade did Dombrowski make? Yep. What trade did Dombrowski make that you want back? Because I don't want any of them. In fact, Manny Margot was the only guy that really actually had a halfway decent career, and he was nothing.
Jim, I'm really, really hung up. I haven't moved forward with my life with this Anderson Espinosa trade with Craig Kimbrel. I really haven't. I'm really still heartbroken over it.
Yeah. Now, was he...
It drives me insane. It really does.
That was with Drew Pomeranz, right?
Or something like that. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
That was the
Anderson Espinosa isn't a Red Sox right now. I'm so sorry, folks.
Well, see, the problem is with the Red Sox is anyone that comes up through the system that can throw 100 miles an hour and is of Spanish descent is the next Pedro.
Of course they are.
It's always – everybody will be like, oh, here's the next Pedro. Remember Ruby De La Rosa?
Oh, of course I do. Yep.
Okay. We traded for him with the couple other clowns that we had there. Again, the next Pedro. Everybody
Alan Webster. Would, yep. That was the other guy that came.
Oh, yeah. Alan Wayback Webster. Yep. Yep. I mean, it's just unbelievable how every time you turn around, there's the next one. Brian Baio is the next Pedro Martinez.
That one infuriates me. Infuriates me.
Moving on a little bit.
Because Pedro works with him. So that's where the comparison comes from.
Exactly. Moving on a little bit. I don't know if you had much time. I was trying to follow this a little bit. There's a little bit of a social media clash between baseball expert ESPN's Jeff Passan and account that I don't know what your take is on it. The account's name is MLB Scoops. I don't know if it's a parody account. I don't know if this individual has any pertinent real information. I'm not quite sure I've seen anything that's actually come to fruition with him or her. But the bottom line is, it was a pretty spicy feud today. What's your take on that?
Delete your account.
Yeah.
Delete your account. I have to say, one of the things that drives me crazy with X Twitter, you see Jim and I here. We're real. We're real people. We have our real picture up there about ourselves. We have real takes. There's nothing fake or phony about us. We shoot from the hip. We tell you how it is. You can agree with us. You can disagree with us. But we're going to give our takes on how we feel about stuff. The ones that hide behind other made-up images or portrayals of other parody accounts of stuff, I can't take it seriously. I just can't. I can't. No. Put your real face on something, because that right there is the biggest flag for me on what side of things I want to take. Because when you have a pass in here and he's telling it like his story and using his credible sources and stuff, I'm probably going to side with that, because I'm at least knowing it's a real person that is in the know, that has a degree, that is a professional, that knows what they're talking about. When I see this other little animated MLB Scoops thing, and I'm not trying to knock MLB Scoops, you could be a nice person and all, but stop being fake. That's the biggest flag to me. When let's say, like comparing apples and oranges right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are some accounts that are business oriented. I mean, I've got a business Twitter account that we publish and stuff like that. But the bottom line here is that, you know, once you have one lack of credibility, it's going to go viral, and then you're just not going to have any trust from anybody at all. And it's bad, because I actually got caught with that once. There was one, I forgot who it was now, that had a tweet, and I sent it maybe to you or somebody, and someone said, "Jim, that's a parody account," and it caught me. So sometimes you got to really like glance at that two or three times when they try to make accounts look like real ones. But I agree with you. I try to generally stay away from even interacting with some of these nonsense accounts, and some of them are just a little bit crazy. But you know, if you want to come and talk to me realistically and have a good take, or if you, the other thing about it too is, some of these accounts, they can't handle any criticism. When I'm right about something, they just disappear. It's so funny. I remember when Tristan Casas hit the ball off the Green Monster in that game.
Oh, that walk-off game.
That walk-off game, and everybody came at me and says, "How do you like Tristan now?" I'm like, "Do you realize we went into extra innings because of his error?" Yes. So it's kind of like,
you know, and I were in that same thing, and I'm saying, like, the dude just did one thing for the month, one thing. And now everybody's on their high horse saying, "Oh, he's back. He's back." Yeah. And I think I said, "He's been gone forever." Or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Other news, Zach Penrod, who was designated for assignment when we acquired Larry Moe and Curley. He was picked up by the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Interesting move, considering the Dodgers have a plethora of pitching.
Oh, you know what's going to happen here.
He's going to turn into...
Man, we're on the same path. We just are. Ryan Brazier 2.0. There it comes. It's exactly where we're at. Yep. It's 100%. But that money, just so you know, that actually is going to a new fund. I don't know if you heard this story or not, but you're going to hear it here first. That money that the Red Sox are getting from the Dodgers is actually going to fund John Henry's second yacht.
Oh, sure.
Yep, they're going to park it right in Liverpool. And anybody that wants to go out to it, be my guest. But I will tell you, it will go down like the Titanic.
I heard somebody gave me a scoop today. I don't know if it's true or not, but we have to look it up, obviously. But newly acquired Kyle Harrison, right? They said that if he is not activated on the major league roster before July 4th, the Red Sox will keep an extra year of control on him.
Oh, so we know the story on that. I did see that.
So we know the story is going to be if you're holding your breath to see him before July 4th, don't, because
Bueller starts. Don't worry. Fasten your seatbelt.
So you're not gonna see him anytime soon. Probably gonna be a few more weeks before that even happens. So I know we talked a little bit about tonight's game and the games over the weekend. Anything else that you want to cover for tonight, or otherwise we'll.
The big thing I wanted to ask you is just your take on what you think is going to happen here tonight when the Red Sox face Devers for the first time. Because I did see some interesting takes. One of them from Papelbon. Did you see that tweet that he was going about? Will Dobbins hit Rafi Devers that first at bat?
You know what? I'm not a big fan of anybody hitting anybody. I don't want to see anybody get injured. You want to brush him back a little bit. You know, that might be something. I mean, Dobbins seems to have a little bit of a hot streak in him. I mean, obviously, if you're going to be a rookie on your fourth or fifth start and come out and say that you'd rather retire than play for the Yankees,
a loose cannon, and that's why I bring this point up.
Exactly. So he's either a loose cannon or he wants to endure himself to Red Sox fans. It's one or the other. But the bottom line is that I hope that if he does, it's just to brush him back a little bit. But I don't want to see anybody get hit.
Yeah, I'm in the same predicament as you with it. I was more fascinated at the point that we have ex-Major League Baseball players, Papelbon. We know Papelbon. I mean, he's crazy.
Papel fight anybody.
He's crazy. Yeah,
he'll fight anybody.
To see that come out, I was like, really? We're going to stoop to that level? We're going to do that? And then I thought about it a little bit more, and I said, oh, Hunter Dobbins is pitching tonight. So I don't want to see it, but I don't want fans to be out there being surprised if something does happen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's going to wrap it up for tonight's show. Nick, thanks very much for joining me tonight. Definitely go ahead and check us out on our digital platform at RedSoxDigest.com. That's RedSoxDigest.com. You can sign up for a free subscription to our daily digital. And depending on what happens over this weekend, if something major breaking happens, we may, come online again for another live podcast. If not, we'll see you next week. And enjoy your weekend, Nick, and Red Sox fans everywhere. Enjoy this weekend. It should be an interesting three-game series.
You as well. Everybody have a good weekend.